All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing on this cold, dreary, way back Wednesday? I can honestly say it is absolutely splendid and fantastic to be back in your presence, people. Holy nightmare yesterday. Nick's here, Barry's here, we're all here. Fellas, what is up?
You said cold. Dude, when I pulled in, it was snowing.
Yeah, you said that earlier. I didn't see it.
Absolutely. But there was, because at first I was like, what is that? It wasn't rain. It was floating down instead of falling down. I was like, what is that? No way. And I thought, okay, I must be seeing stuff, or maybe somebody's cutting styrofoam. And it's just like a little, and then I backed up to park, put the car in park, and a little snowflake landed on the windshield, just plain as day. I was like, I'll be damned.
I had seen people, first of all, the cheater report this morning was dead on that there was going to be sleet and freezing rain, but mostly up north. But then social media started saying it was getting closer. People on the outskirts, kind of the northern outskirts, were reporting past Conroe some frozen material coming down, whether it be sleet or snow. But I didn't think it was going to get to Houston.
Well, it did. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, it's not cold enough to stick and all that, but it. I can attest. I'm an idiot, but I'm not dumb. Well,
yeah. I
can see. How about that?
I'm assuming it's ice that melts right when it hits the ground.
Yeah, when the snow hit the windshield, it set for like 3 seconds and then it melted immediately. Yeah. So
that's a blessing in this town, because everything I've ever seen I've been here with snow is they Shuts not only do down. People not know how to drive.
Oh yeah, we don't.
But they don't know like
we
to be.
Yourself.
I don't
more cautious about patting the brake. Don't lock the brakes when you're on icy. Don't jam on them. Pat them. People don't know that, and it's just accident central.
I think people in Houston, and rightfully so, drive as bad as people in L.A. when it rains. When it snows here, we're as or ice is over, we're as bad as L.A. drivers when it rains, because it never rains in L.A. And then when it does, I've been there, and it's god-awful. It's the same as when it ices here. It's just bad.
And that's another thing people don't realize. When it, like you said, when L.A. doesn't get any rain and the pavement's been hot and everything like that, that first rain – in the first half hour to hour that it's coming down, it can be like ice, the way the pavement is and how slippery it gets and your tires, the way they react. So, yeah, and the worst part is when I lived in Portland, it was a combination of both, because it was ice and it was the rains. People still thought they had vehicles that they could take hairpin turns and whatever. And that's why Portland just went to ditches. They don't even put a guardrail up anymore because they hope that you just slide into the ditch and you can get your butt out and your car out when things clear up.
Yeah, I asked when I was up there, did it snow a lot? And they were like, no, mainly rain. I guess because they're just not in the right spot for a lot of... I mean, they get cold weather, but not snow. So I found that to be interesting.
Yeah, the black ice is the scariest thing in Portland.
The black ice?
Black ice.
Oh, black ice. Yeah. I was like, what? Joel?
Well, if you look at... And we've talked about this.
That's not nice.
If you look in the crowd at a Blazer game, that might be surprising too in Portland.
Oh, I totally called them out, by the way, on stage when I was there.
Yeah?
I was like, you know, for a city that sure does claim to be so progressive and accepting, there are no black people here.
None.
That's why you guys feel that way, because you're like, oh, you know, there's we're so accepting. Of who? Of what? You know, you're not.
Remember we talked about all black guys in Green Bay, people assume are Packers?
Yeah.
When I lived in Portland, pretty much everybody thought they were Trailblazers.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Like, you know, guys, I'd be playing basketball at Nike, and the guys are like, hey, you know, if we go down to the restaurant down the street, they kind of think that we're Blazer prospects. Maybe we'll get some free grub. I'm like, oh, come on.
How did jury duty go?
The worst thing ever.
Was it?
So I've done jury duty in Harris County. And Harris County, like, the courthouse is run down and the facilities might be great. But when you're there, you know within a half hour what courtroom you're going to be in and what case you might be on. Then within an hour and a half, the lawyers are talking to all the potential jurors. And within 2 hours, you know if you're on a jury or not. Fellas, I'm here to tell you. Nicest facilities in the world. And it was a nightmare.
Why?
I got there at 7:45. There were 303 people in the room by 8:15. They showed us two videos, if you qualified or not, and what might happen and how important you are. At 9:30, they said we're going to take a 15-minute break. Someone came back to talk to us at 11 a.m.
Wow.
Told us that two courts had closed. They had solved their cases, didn't need a jury. We're waiting on two more. 45 minutes later, they told us to they were going to read a list, didn't say what the list was for, and if your name was called, come up and get a number. 76 people got a number. I got a number.
Oh.
I had intentions the entire time of talking right away to the judge, right, and telling them some stuff going on, everything like that. Get in. They want to know who those people are. You raise your hand. Then you sit down. Then the judge proceeds to talk to you for an hour and 15 minutes about what the case is about. And then she says, let's take an hour and a half lunch.
Oh, no. Yeah.
After the hour and a half lunch, she was 15 minutes late. She then proceeds to let the state present their case for an hour and 20 minutes.
What?
Followed by another 10-minute break. Then the defense gets to present to the jury for 90 minutes. At which point we got into another break, and that's when that was after 5 o'clock when the sheriff's deputy came out and said, "By the way, at 5 o'clock the alarms are going to go, the fire alarm's going to go off, and you can't leave because you're sequestered right now." I'm like,
"So you were on the jury?
I haven't been picked. No, I have not been picked." And the whole time they're calling out prospective jurors and saying, "Do you have a problem with this? Do you have a problem with that?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, I do." Or hell yeah, if I did, right? And I was being honest; I wasn't trying to get out of it at this point. At 6:01, we were released because we were all called back into the room again after waiting out in the hallway. And then they called us all back in the room. And in front of us, they walked and paraded the 14 people that were going to be the jurors. I would say half of them had a oh, hell no scowl on their face, and they were pissed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would feel bad for, if you're the defendant in a situation like that. I would be.
Let me just tell you, without
you don't want angry jurors.
And here's the thing, too. I don't want to get into specifics of the case because I don't know if I should or could.
Well, did they tell you? Did they make you sign a non-disclosure?
No. I mean, you sign your jurors summons or whatever it is, and all that.
And what does it say on there?
But she just.
It's the court. That's all public record.
She just said the judge just said, you know, I don't want you guys talking amongst yourselves about the case.
Yeah, well, then
don't
you're go good. Out.
But I mean, the guy that was being accused was literally staring, you know, because he's trying to figure out what jurors he wants to.
Uh-huh.
And there were at least 25 guys, and we were all going, I can't even look at this dude. Like, this is the kind of thing, like, this dude sickens me that what much.
Was it a child molestation case?
Worse than that.
What?
Yep.
What was it? Was R. Kelly?
No. But, no, but at the same time, you know, they're pointing out all the different things, and you're looking
at
this.
Well, what was it? You can say it, because I could go to the court records and just start looking at every case if I wanted to.
I mean, I don't know if I can say it or not, but you're pretty much spot on. It might be a little bit more detailed.
You're totally allowed to say it. Like, do you not believe me?
Okay,
it's not like a medical record.
But people get the gist of what we're talking about.
Yeah, but it's not like a medical record. Like, if you were, you can't talk about people's medical records. But a court case is in, the courts are funded by taxpayer money and public funds, so it's all public record.
Well, it was definitely involving a child, and it was... So for obvious reasons, I had some issues. And then as they were described, I had some more issues. And yeah. I'm like, And the
you should have just at one point just someone went, "You sick son of a bitch." And they would have been like, "You can go."
And no, there was
I was
a guy,
so tempted to do that, but I couldn't build the courage.
I'm going
to
be honest with you.
That crazy?
I end up in couldn't the room with a guy that I kind of knew.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so he and I were across the juror box, but during breaks we would talk. The guy next to him did exactly what you're saying. He stood up at least four times. And went, "There's no way I'm even looking at this guy because I don't believe it. And I want out," and this and everything. They go, "Okay, sir." And they made all of us that even remotely raised your hand once to wait to the very end.
Before they dismissed you.
And before they dismissed us.
Oh, that's a big
It was
move.
Just, it was the worst.
Wow.
For $6. Now, if you get called back, you get 40 a day.
Six?
Yeah, $6.
I got 10.
Six in Fort Bend County.
Oh.
But man. I will tell you, Nicholas.
Fort Bend County's broke.
Fort Bend County's got some money because that building.
Oh, it's nice.
Pretty swanky.
It's nice.
Yeah. Big
They're making
time.
Some money for sure. There's no question. No question about that.
Thought of you guys right off the top because when I was sitting in the, I got first sat down in the jury area, the dude in front of me walks in. First, he was arguing with the woman because he wanted to make it known what country he was actually from because he thought that would help him. She's like, "Sir, you're a citizen." He sits
down. I am Ugandan.
And he sits down with his jacket. And just like Barry gave you the tip, Nick, with your suit before Vegas, it definitely still had the label on the outside of the sleeve.
Oh, nice.
I was like, "Sir, you just bought that." I was like, I was going to take a picture and tweet it to y'all during the show. I was like, "Oh, my
That's
God.
That's too funny."
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
Oh, man. It doesn't sound like it was fun.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, next time you guys just be like, I think that dude's a six, and then...
But it didn't work, because like I said, there was a guy that did that.
He thought he would get out of it.
And kept saying it, and every time the lawyers asked him a question, he'd say it again, and he was the last person dismissed.
Oh, they knew what he was doing then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So the defense guy, he's not only... He was old school. He also couldn't hear. So anytime they said something, because they would single jurors out, he'd go, what? Say it again.
Oh,
I didn't hear
God.
It.
Oh, my God.
And then you have two...
That's just hell.
Women in their probably 30s.
Say no more. No, I'm just kidding.
No, for the state.
Oh, God.
And you know how you're supposed to, when the lawyers are... if the lawyers, the defense lawyer's saying something, the state's not supposed to say anything?
Right.
Well, you're because they're sitting in front of you, show no emotion. These two women were like... And making faces.
What?
And like, they called the judge several times. Can we just meet with you? Because this is not... acceptable. And we're going, what is going on?
Wow. It's like kangaroo court.
I wasted all my time. So
it
good to
sounds
be
like it. So you got there at what time?
7:45.
And you left at 6?
6:01. I was livid.
You didn't even get a dollar an hour.
And I had women that were like in from my neighborhood going, I haven't eaten all day. You know, they, you know.
Oh, didn't y'all get a lunch break?
Yeah, but they didn't know, like, if we might get called back. I didn't. I stayed there, too, because they said you get 90 minutes, but I didn't know, like.
Shoot, I'm leaving.
I should've.
You told me 90 minutes. I'll be back in 89, 59. See ya.
It was awful.
It sounds awful.
Yeah. I don't recommend it to anyone, but you do your service. Like, I felt guilty thinking about, like, calling my brother-in-law, who's the associate DA in California, in Indio, and going, hey, how do I get out of this? And I'm like, no, then he's going to tell his dad, and then they're going to think, yeah. So I'm just going to stick this out.
Well, I know you wouldn't recommend that, but I have something I would recommend to the people.
Yeah.
Vortex. You want to get in shape? Go to Vortex. It's like one of the best gyms in the city of Houston to work out at, because it's not complicated. It's not, you know, you go to a lot of these gyms, and there's so many machines and things going on, and you're just like, I don't even know what to do. It's going to take me forever. It takes 2 hours of my time every time I go to the gym. Not at Vortex. Vortex is Houston's first and only multi-sensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. That's a lot of words, and basically what that means is when you get there, the classes are fun. That's what that means. Literally, like, you got sound pumping in, you got lights kind of setting the mood for you as you're supposed to be amped up or stretching or whatever. It gets all of your senses involved in the workout, and 45 minutes. That's how long the class is. A 45-minute workout. So you're not spending hours at a time trying to get in shape and dealing with sweaty people and benches that aren't cleaned off and all that. It's outstanding. You're going to love the workouts. They're fun. They're energetic. And I know you're thinking boxing, cycling. Those are like legs and arms. No, these are full-body workouts. Whether you're doing the spin class or the rumble class, they are full-body workouts. Trust me when I tell you that. I've done both, and I've woken up the next day sore from head to toe, which is a good thing. Not a bad sore, a good sore. And right now, Vortex has a great deal going. For $40, you get unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week. It's outstanding. $40, you take as many classes as you want to try it out, see what you like, and then sign up after that for yourself. Easy to get to. 1707 West Gray is where they're located. Their phone number is 281-501-3094, 281-501-3094, or check them out online at vortextexas.com.
Do you want to ride in the backseat of a Caddy, chop it up with do or die? Do you want to ride in the backseat of a Caddy, chop it up with do or die?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Wayback Wednesday's back. And Barry's hour number one. And the theme, in case you all were wondering, and you always are... The theme has to do with the 23rd. It's the 23rd. And obviously, we went with 23 years ago, songs from 23 years ago, in order to be eligible for this list. And we owe it all to our good friend Kirsten, who is unfortunately in California, but hopefully listening. But we know that ideas come from all over. And We love her. She used to be an employee here of Gal Media. She's moved on to bigger and better things. We miss her, and she still listens and was able to give us that great bit of a theme.
She always has good ideas for Way Back Wednesday. I'm not going to lie. She was, when she worked here, she would come in every Tuesday.
It's like her favorite segment.
Her favorite thing to do was to come up with the ideas. So we appreciate good ideas. And I want to be very specific when I say that.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate good ideas. So if your idea sucks, we don't appreciate it. It's stupid.
No, we don't appreciate good criticism.
We don't, or we do?
Not well. I mean, if it was constructive, it's one thing. But most of it, it's destructive criticism.
Appreciate constructive criticism, and any feedback, positive or negative, is always welcomed. It's all in how it's presented, in my opinion. And speaking of that, before we jump into some sportsy stuff, I gotta say, I hope he's not listening, but if he is, oh well, lesson learned. So I went to the barbershop today, as I do every Wednesday, 10:30, Current Cuts, on, was it Tidwell? Anyways, so I get there, and I put my stuff down, and there's a dude in the chair ahead of me, and he goes, man, I've been looking for you for over a year now. And I was like, oh, okay. He goes, I need to get on your radio show. And I was like, oh, you didn't even let me get my backpack put up before we started this. He goes, yeah, man. He goes, y'all gonna be on tonight? And I was like, tonight? I'm on every day from 1 to 4, so it's not at night, during the day. And then he was like, well, I need to get on. And I told him, I was like, we just can't have people on. Like, you just can't, come on and pitch a product. And he's like, oh, I just wanna talk sports. I'm like, man, it's not that easy. Like, you don't just, hey, I want to be on the radio, and then people put you on the radio. It just doesn't like happen like that. And I was, so it made me think, like, first of all, that happens to me quite a bit where people are like, oh, I need to be on your show. I got something I want to promote. And I'm like, nah, that's called advertising. You got to pay for that. And then they're like, well, I just want to be on the show and talk sports. Oh, well, I'm sure you do. But you realize that most people are going to hate your segment.
A few more hurdles to jump before you just jump on the air like that.
And if you're trying to get on my show, it might help you if you know when it comes on.
Yeah. I was just going to say, the one thing that I was like, not another guy that thought we were on in the morning and we're the unusual suspects.
Yeah,
and
this guy was like, yeah, what, y'all on tonight? No, we're on from 1 to 4 every day. But does that happen to you guys? We're like, oh, you got to put me on your show. Oh, you got to put me on the radio.
I'm great
on the radio.
I've had friends do it. That's worse.
That is worse.
Friends is a lot worse than just someone in passing. When a friend goes, yeah, man, you got to put me on the show, I'd be great. And I'm like, great at what?
Yeah. What are you? I mean, like,
I love how they.
Oh, I can talk sports. That's kind of what we do already.
Yeah.
You'd say we need you to help us do that.
But they don't present it as a question. Oh, you need to have me. You need to have me on the show.
No, it's a demand.
It's a direct. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they present it in the form of a statement as opposed to a question. But whatever.
And I told J-Ro this. I said, look, man, it's one thing if someone comes up to you and says, hey, man, love the show. Big fan. No, at least know the name of the show and when we come on.
Yep.
But like, man, if you guys ever need someone to come on and talk about X, Y, and Z, hit me up. I would love to share my knowledge or whatever I can. And, you know, this is my background and this, that, and the other. And that's how you approach that. Because then it's like, oh, okay. You know what? Maybe I would consider that. Totally consider that if the need arises.
The extra thing that opens the door is.
But don't come up, hey, you need to put me on your show. No, I don't need to do anything.
Bring up a segment we've done that they liked.
There you go.
Because then you can say, oh, and they'd be like, man, you know what? What I really loved is I was listening that time when, for instance, you guys did movie moments with Trey, and I would have said this. But, man, next time you do something like that or you need people in the studio for something, I'd be all for that. That's a hell of a lot better than saying, I need to be on your show the next time you talk hoops because I know I know.
Yeah. It's like, come on, man. Don't. That's like me going up to P. Diddy and be like, bro, I make beats in my bedroom. You need to give me a record deal. What? Get out of here, weirdo.
And I've always had a passion.
You still doing Big Boy records? Bad Boy. My bad. Whatever.
That would be funny, though.
That would be, right?
That'd be hilarious.
That's the equivalent.
Yep. It kind of is.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. It's all good. I mean, I'm just impressed with how people are so brave. And like when I was a kid, I always had an infatuation with radio. But when I would call in, I'd kind of hang up because I'd be so nervous. People now are just, hey, you want to come on radio? Yeah, sure. They want to talk and there's no fear at all. which I'm pretty impressed by. But as a kid, I was always like, you know, how do I sound? What are they going to tell me?
Right.
They don't care. So, yeah, they have no shame.
I think it's interesting, too, because a lot of people, and it hurts us doing what we do, too, because when you think about what we just said, a lot of people think anyone can do it. The light just comes on, and you just talk like you were talking to your buddies talking about sports, and it's easy, and, you know, there's no you know, prep time, and there's no, like, you know, working on your voice and your cues and all the different things that we have to do. They just think, and what's really bad, and I've told you guys this, is there's people in a lot of front offices in sports that think, hey, if you ever need a night off, I can do that. You're full of it, man. No, you could not.
Yeah.
That's the biggest misconception is, no, you could not. And it's not just because you know your team and you memorize the starting five. It's knowing everybody on the roster, tidbits about all of them. It's just, it's not as simple as people think it is.
No, and not, it's being able to come on and not say we, us.
Being witty, being tested, being challenged.
Yeah.
And being on your feet.
Especially on this show.
No doubt.
Yeah, because, yeah, we'll pick on you for sure. AR Platinum said, man, all day long people ask me for plugs. This YouTube channel is huge. Like, he's got over 40,000.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And he was like, all day long people are asking me for plugs on YouTube. They have, like, two bad videos, and they want to promote them. And people just want free and fast route to success. Doesn't make sense. I totally agree with you. Like, well, and for us, and it's probably a little bit different, like with you, AR Platinum, they're probably just trying to get their followers up by using you as opposed to building them like you did. But for us, it's free advertising for those folks.
Right.
They just want to come on and plug their product. And it's like, you don't understand. There's without advertisers, without the Vortexes of the world and the My Bookies and the Cheers and the
Infuse Energy and without all roofing and
yeah, without all those guys, there's no usual suspects. So we have to have advertisers. We can't just give that away for free. Otherwise, this is just KPFT 90.1 and no one's listening. So
good point.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on the way back Wednesday. And if you'd like to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also reach us via tweet, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. We're a half hour in with 2.5 to go, so don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Stone like them white boys, but them white girls
before them got chrome. My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a way back Wednesday. Barry, our number one. Good one here.
I'm going to go ahead and call the L on my list, to be honest with you. I could have put a little more effort in my list. So, just putting that out there.
Let's be real. Joel, just to be a jerk, took your Tupac songs.
You did take my Tupac songs, Joel. What's up with that?
Well, because I didn't know. First of all, I know I'm taking it. I take the L anyway. And I don't know if
you know Nick loves Tupac. You did that on purpose.
But most
you
of the time when I leave purpose. Them for Nick, he won't take them.
That happened that maybe once or twice.
No, that was a
total.
A
that was a total dick move. You did that on purpose.
So I saw because I was sitting here going,
and
when
you
I was,
know I love Hootie.
No, no, he loves
Hootie. I put Hootie on first, and then I looked at his. Well, you put technically you submitted it first, but I put it. Yeah. That was like one of my first songs, and then I look. Of course,
that's
Joel has.
That's
it.
How he did you. He was like, okay, what are all the songs that Nick's like? Nick
well,
likes.
He's got the connect with Hootie. I don't know Hootie like Joel does.
Yeah. I don't know him personally, but I have friends that know him, and I was trying to get him hooked up for you, but. I looked at, I was like, okay, I was wondering if we were doing this or not today. And then I saw the email and I'm like, oh, okay, well, if we're going to do this, then I might as well, while I'm doing the rundown, working on the rundown, I'll look at songs. Because I'm like, someone's going to pull a technicality on the year and the 23 years and when it was written. And I'm like, and then I was like, oh, wow, there was some good ones back then.
Yeah.
And I just started pulling them.
I am looking at the list. First of all, obviously, I'm very confident in my list and I tried to, but Nick...
So Nick. Which one do you have a problem with? I think I have an idea of
Crisscross Tonight's okay. The Night?
That was the second best song that they've ever had.
Second?
I thought you said you weren't going to drink during the show. What? Crisscross Tonight's the night? That wasn't the second best song they had.
Ever had?
No.
Jump's one, obviously.
What's number two?
Back it up, or warm it up.
Warm it up, Chris.
But did that come out in 96? It probably did come out in 96.
Well, it's not the second best regardless. That was the second best song they had. Not this tonight. I don't even know what tonight's the night
is. No, that's a good song.
I can't wait to hear it for the first time.
Man, I'm with him. I don't think.
You've never heard that song either, Joel?
I don't think so, no.
I mean, I give you props for the Nas, the Rage Against the Machine.
To me, that was my second favorite song of Crisscross.
Bulls on Parade, great choice. Twisted, as long as you play the remix,
those are the two that I thought you were going to pick.
Twisted, the original sucks. You got to play the remix.
You got to understand, that was the first CD that I've ever purchased.
Keith Sweat's Twisted?
Yeah. And then my second was 311.
Were you trying to have sex with somebody?
I'm just saying, that was my first CD. That's all I'll say.
I'm big on Keith Sweat, but on our list, the way we get picked on, I'm...
Your first CD ever was Keith Sweat.
My first album, which was a CD,
right,
was Keith Sweat.
I'm trying to think. My first album ever was actually, if I'm being completely honest, it was from some church group.
What?
Yeah. I think
that's worse than Keith Sweat.
I think he's absolutely right.
It was at the Francona Elementary had some, like, they used to have a church at the elementary school. And for some reason, I ended up there. I'm young now, mind you. I might be 7. And they had this band, and they were giving out albums, and an actual
big vinyl,
black vinyl disc.
Yep.
And they signed it, and I just thought, oh my god, this is gonna be worth so much money one day. And then, so I think, but the first real album I ever got, the first legit, was Queen.
Okay,
can't hate on that.
Another one, Bites the Dust. That was the first legit record/album I ever owned. Do you remember yours?
I do.
Oh, God.
I ain't telling you. You're going to beat me like a drum on this
one. Come on. I fessed up to some whack-ass Christian group no one's ever heard of.
I fessed up to Keith Sweat.
Yeah, it can't be worse than Keith Sweat.
My sisters did this to me intentionally. They did this to me intentionally. They were like, I don't know what he's... I was big on like the 45 records.
Okay.
And I'd make my grandma go buy them with me. And then if I liked it, my sisters would try and get it. And I ended up, because I was a very, very... portly little child.
Okay.
I was like trying to keep them from getting my record. And so I sat on one and I broke it. And so my sisters were like, all right, we're going to get them an album or two so that at least the records are more durable. And they got me two albums at the same time. And one of them was one of those K-Tels where it had all the top hits of whatever.
Okay.
And the second one was Billy Joel.
That's not bad.
That's not terrible.
You guys kill me on Billy Joel.
Well, he's corny, but that's not a bad first album as a kid. It's way better than Keith Sweat.
He's super respected, still performs, I think.
How old were you when you got a Keith Sweat album?
How old?
Yeah.
I was 10 years old.
There's no reason a 10-year-old should be listening to Keith Sweat, you weirdo.
I mean, 10-year-olds are listening to way worse music.
You also might have gone through puberty already and really
balls
enjoyed it.
Even dropped yet. How do you know that Keith Sweat?
Oh, I was 13. No, I was 13. 96. Yeah, my math is terrible. I was 13.
Obviously. 13.
63.
No, you waited. What was
I was swallowing my saliva. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Man, I'm telling you, I give Nick credit because he got a little soul in there and he got an early start on enjoying some good music. I mean, I think my sisters tried to warp my sense of musical taste into more rock and pop.
Are you talking about his list or just getting his first album?
I'm talking about the albums they got me. Because they were like into the Beatles and all that other stuff. So
yeah, Billy Joel's not
Zeppelin.
Bad. Mine was the worst. A Christian group no one's ever heard of. It was a dude and a chick, but the chick looked like a dude, and the dude had a beard. That's all I remember. She had like a short this was back when what was the skater, the ice skater that had the real short hair?
Dorothy Hamill.
She had like a Dorothy Hamill cut, but it wasn't good. It was like a bad, like they messed up and had to go shorter.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She would definitely call and get the manager on somebody with that haircut.
That reminds me when you say a religious album. When I was walking to jury duty yesterday, I'm already half asleep. I'm not happy to be there. And there's two people on the front stairway of the outside the courthouse with, let me introduce you to the Bible.
Oh,
and in English and Spanish, let me give you Bible verses. Oh. And they're like, sir, do you have a Bible? I go, I have one at home. And they're like, can we give you something that you can use to pray with? I go, bro, I'm just praying I get out of here before 11 a.m. And he didn't like it much. I just wanted out and I was not happy.
Somebody said their first CD was CNC Music Factory. That's kind of whack.
Is it though?
Yeah,
at one point, CNC they were
Music
pretty
Factory
big deal.
Is whack.
At one point, them just like Nilly Vanilly. There was a section of people that were all over Nilly Vanilly for the MTV generation.
CNC Music Factory is the clapper of groups. That's just like novelty stuff, but you don't really want it. But if you get one, you're like, okay, you got me.
Didn't you kind of think it was
CNC Music Factory?
Didn't you think it was Ice-T crossing over? He kind of had that voice, and instead of being hardcore rap, he kind of crossed over a little bit. But then they were another one that didn't. They got a voice that wasn't in the group that did a lot of their singing, which was completely whack.
Right.
Okay, so real quick before we get into the sports then. So we did albums, but what was your first concert?
Ronnie Millsap.
Oh, no.
Ronnie Millsap. Beat Ronnie Millsap.
I don't think I can. I don't feel as bad about my album now. Wow.
Yeah.
Is he blind?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. He had sunglasses. Yeah. I just wasn't sure if
Ronnie
he was really
Millsap
blind.
Was blind. Yeah. All right. Yeah, yeah.
You remember, Nick?
Suck on that.
Local. It was like a local band. I haven't really been to like big concerts.
You've never been to a big concert?
No. Really?
Oh, we got to take you to a concert.
I screwed up.
Justin Timberlake was here last night.
I screwed up because we had talked about this about 6 months ago, that when he came back, if we all wanted to go, I would work on getting his tickets. I didn't know when he was coming back, and then I found out it was last night.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I'll take the L on that because I wanted us all three to go to that.
Yeah,
but, I went to this place called Last Concert Cafe.
Yep,
where they allowed you to partake in the, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and I was hooked. I just it was local bands, man. It was just a cool little hole in the wall spot that apparently used to be a brothel years ago.
Oh wow,
It's an institution. Nobody messed. Yeah,
Barry.
What?
Sanitary. Wash your
hands. Exactly.
Yeah. It was years ago. It was decades ago.
So in Milwaukee, they have this thing called Summerfest, okay? And it's a festival grounds along the lakefront. And it has 32 stages, 64 restaurants. And for 15 days, like, you get one ticket to get in the front door. And unless you want a reserve seat to the big stage, like at Cynthia Woods, that's at the end of the fairgrounds, right there on the lake. If you want a reserve seat, you pay for it. Otherwise, lawn seats are free. And all the side stages are free. And so they have a rock stage and a country stage and a rap stage. And you can get some pretty big names. Like, I saw Bon Jovi on the rock stage.
Okay.
And the oldie stage, they would have the Temptations and all that. The first night got rained out, and that was supposed to be the Grateful Dead, which meant I would have been a complete head-banging freaking rock and roll guy for life. And so the next night, my buddies took me because their dad was like, he ran Summerfest. And I saw Kool & the Gang and the Daz Band, and I was like, now I finally got a little soul. I got
you're like,
mixed version of
Keith
Sweat. Yeah. I got a little bit more soul in me than all the hard rock.
Nice.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of first albums. And
one of the
I think most people remember the first album that they purchased.
Paula Abdul was one of his first albums.
Hey, at least he or she owned up to it.
Yeah.
Well, if it's a she, I guess it's not as embarrassing.
Right?
Right?
Exactly.
Because she was kind of...
But truthfully, on the Nilly Vanilly thing, because they were an MTV, there was a lot of people thought they were really cool until they found out that they were faking it.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like, oh, I was never, I
it's
never
like
had that
Ice.
Album. Yeah.
You don't sell that many records and then everybody hates you.
Right.
Like, you somebody liked
same
you at
thing,
one point.
Same thing with Vanilla Ice. It was embarrassing to admit that you listened to it for a while. Now people own it. Like, it's...
Yeah.
They own that they used to like Vanilla Ice.
MTV created a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because if the video was good or, you know, it was part of their mainstream video shows, then you got hooked on it.
Sporty Sam said my first concert was Purple Rain, Prince at the Summit. That's badass.
Yeah, good. That's lucky a good get you. Right there.
Do you ever say, don't ever say anything about music with Ronnie Millsap as your first concert. That's horrible, Barry. That's from USA Mike. Followed by Ronnie Millsap is one of the greatest singer-songwriters of our time. Tell him to suck it, Barry.
Rocky Mountain Rain?
Don't know.
I'm guessing.
I couldn't name you one Ronnie Millsap song.
I'm trying to show that I have a wide variety of music. I would say Ronnie Millsap sang a song called Rocky Mountain Rain. That would be my guess.
Okay. I'm going to Google that.
All right.
I'll Google it.
Well, we can get some sports after this. We're going to continue to roll on. Good start to the show. And, of course, we always love you guys participating. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. You can call. You can text. You can hit us up on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, Usual Suspects, hour one, 3 hour show. Barry, hour number one, way back Wednesday. Songs from 23 years ago.
This is my jam right here.
The 23rd of the month. Shout out to Kirsten for giving us that topic. If that's your jam right there?
This is my jam.
Sing it for us.
You can pretty much sound like Ted from the movie
Don't
and get away with it.
Me daughter. That's the only bro jam I know.
He does have a distinct voice,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, like Nickelback. Well, ooh, I just pissed off every Pearl Jam fan in the world.
I was going to say.
Because every one of them is listening.
Distinct voices, Bee Gees, right? Steve Perry.
Yep.
Those are the ones that try and duplicate that, right?
No way.
Peter Cetera.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had that kind of high pitch a little bit too. But maybe even Hootie.
Nah.
But Hootie's kind of a country, but Hootie's kind of kind of the pop mainstream version of Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam.
Tracy Kelly said her first album or CD was Def Leppard, Pyromania.
Great one.
Not bad. Not bad.
I was a big Leppard fan.
Mark Villalobos was straight out of Compton.
Okay.
And Arian Fetus was Olivia Newton-John physical.
What? My dad might have picked that.
Oh, my God.
I think my dad had a thing for Olivia Newton-John.
Garbage, did he?
Yeah.
Probably. He probably watched her video in the spandex.
Let's Get Physical was on repeat when we weren't home.
Guys, I'm going to need the room for a minute.
And yep.
Tell your mom to bring me some lotion. What? Dad? What? Yep.
We're out of cocoa butter. Tell your mom. Go to the store now.
Somebody said on the text, I don't know the theme for Way Back Wednesday or even who started off first, but they won with Do or Die, Po' Pimpin', and Crucial Conflict. That was from Coach Flea. Just wanted you guys to know that I won. That's
Coach,
all.
Thanks for being DQ'd. We'll figure out a reason later.
Hey, Barry, I'm looking for a new barber. Does Kurt Cuts do walk-ins, and are they a cash-only business? Nope, not a cash-only, and I think they do walk-ins, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll get Jason or J-Ro, my dude. So I would show up the first time, and then you could figure it out from there. But, yeah, you can walk in.
Great.
That helps. Yep, great dude. I'm like Nick was. Never call. That's why I love Twitter and text. I have bad stage fright. That's from Chris Householder when it comes to getting on the radio.
Yeah, right. When I was a kid, I was really concerned. I kept trying. I kept calling, but I'd never find the heart to talk. So
I'm going to get through these last four or five bad CDs, and then we can move on. Right. First CD, Derek said, Chumbawamba, Tub Thumper.
I would never admit that, ever.
I would never.
Never.
No. I swear, what Barry admitted to is better than that. Honestly.
Exactly. A Christian band that no one's ever heard of versus Chubba Wumba.
I think that's hilarious.
That's I get knocked down, but I get up again.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's them.
First album was the DOC, No One Can Do It Better. Ooh, that is outstanding.
No shame in that one.
Love that. Love it, love it, love it.
That Joel's, one or the religious group? There's your spectrum.
Yeah. Joel was close. It's Smoky Mountain Rain.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a couple of those validating that. And then this is Demetrius. My first concert was Depeche Mode at Astroworld. I went to that concert.
Really?
I went to Depeche Mode at Astroworld. It wasn't my first concert, but I went to it. And he said his first album was Berlin, Take My Breath Away.
Well, what's her name? The lead singer was kind of hot.
Bow, 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 bow. That's Top Gun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he said my first cassette was 12 of them from Columbia for a penny. So there you go.
All right.
So we're going to move on. Y'all can stop texting in your albums. We all shall right. move on.
Cool deal. So how was Cody yesterday?
Good. He talked about applying for jobs naked, and it got weird.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. He applied for a job bucket naked in the middle of the night, and we went from there.
Why do I imagine that? What's that commercial for how do you apply for a bank loan or whatever, and you can do it in your boxer shorts and the puppet's trying to tell the guy he doesn't need to dress up?
Yeah.
But it takes it to a whole new level of Cody's naked.
So easy, you can do it in your underwear. That sounds familiar.
Had no problem admitting to it either.
Nope.
Really?
He's going to be a personal shopper or whatever. I don't know. Shipped?
I think.
You got to be careful when you say it.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, he's going to be a shopper. So we had a good time.
Good.
Yeah.
He's always good.
Yeah.
He's
going to be in Friday, right?
Yeah, Friday while you hit the road. So, yeah, to Dallas, right?
Where are you going Friday?
Fort Worth?
I will be in Fort Worth. I leave Thursday after the show, But I'm going to use our, you know, we had a day from being here Monday. So, yeah, I'll be out Friday. But, yeah, I'll be at the Fort Worth Hyenas Club.
Cool deal.
Yeah.
There you go.
Looking forward to that.
All right.
Headlining Thursday.
Oh, big time.
Not headlining Friday and Saturday, but I'm headlining Thursday. So,
well, why do they do that?
Because the headliners that they'll get for the weekend sometimes either can't make it for the Thursday show or like a Wednesday show or a Sunday show. They're only in town for the weekend. So if the feature is able to headline, they'll have him do it. And that's kind of where I am. I'm kind of like, I'm starting to headline, but I'm not a full-time headliner yet. So when they need a headliner, I'm the backup plan.
But, you're building, so you'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. I saw on Twitter that I got bashed for giving you one star on something that I haven't listened to yet. So I was like, all right, good deal.
Yeah, I was looking at my podcast reviews on iTunes just to see if I had rated yet, because I'm trying to make the new and noteworthy, right? And so it's a big deal. If your podcast makes new and noteworthy in your main category, you end up picking up a lot of extra listeners.
Absolutely.
So it's a big deal to get that. And so part of the way you get that is in your first 8 weeks of launch, which I may have to start adding more episodes just to get it. But if you get a lot of ratings and reviews, that really helps. A lot of listens and a lot of ratings and reviews. So I was, you know, and I haven't been begging for ratings or reviews, but, you know, I'll mention it. And I went and looked, and I had 4 5-star ratings and 1 1-star. I was like, what? So somebody was like, oh, the 1-star had to be Joel.
Nice.
So I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know. There's always going to be, I guess, somebody that has to, you know.
Yeah. Subscribing is really important, but reviews are really, really important. So write a review. Say what you liked about the podcast.
Yeah.
Go subscribe and then write a review about what you liked.
Thank you, Nicholas.
I saw the rundown from yesterday, but Ken Bone was good?
Ken Bone was really good. Funny.
Really?
Funny. I wasn't expecting them to be funny, but he was not like, oh, okay, these are like, he was legit funny. Like he was self-deprecating, but he was also like at one point, because Radu had given me a really great question to ask him about, as you may know, when all of this happened to him, he did a Reddit Ask Me Anything, an AMA on Reddit. And people took his screen name and searched Reddit to see what he... And he was talking about porn and looking at b-holes. Like, this was back when the fappening happened and Jennifer Lawrence's pictures got released. Yeah. He was like, I don't know why everybody's upset. I saw her b-hole and I liked it. Like, he said this.
He said that?
He left that as a message. And then he was talking about porn. Like, he likes pregnant porn.
Oh, no.
And so that I didn't bring that up specifically, but I was like, you know, do people come to you for advice when they go viral? Because you just didn't plan on it. You just showed up for a debate, and then out of nowhere, you become this viral sensation. And he's like, every once in a while. And I said, you know, what do you tell him? And I was like, well, did it bother you when your whole past history? He goes, yeah, it bothers you. No one wants their grandma knowing what they look at on porn.
Right.
Like, I don't want my grandma knowing what my porn habits are. He's like, but you deal with it and you move on. And so he was very... Like, it was really good, man.
So when's that one coming out?
That one's not going to be until the end of February, because I got to do Don't Tase Me, Bro. He's going to drop, and then Marvin drops at the beginning of February. But I might move them all up if I can get some more in the can.
No, that's a tease. Not till the end of next month.
Of February. Well, because I only wanted to do it like once every 2 weeks or twice a month or whatever, because I didn't want to overcommit. So
I'm not going to lie. I like this song.
It's a good-ass song.
Yeah, when it came out, I was big on this song.
Yeah. It's simple, but catchy.
Yep, no doubt. That's the one that sticks in your head for a while.
No doubt.
After you hear it. All right, hour number one in the books. 2 hours still to go with the big show. Don't go anywhere as we open up hour number two. Nick, who's hour number two?
You are, sir. Joel.
I will take hour number two.
The consensus winner, by the way. Everyone on Twitter has said you won. No, I hate them. I hate all of them.
Them know that, too.
I hate all of them, yeah.
You gave me a 1-star. All right, so hour number two around the corner. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.